May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem. And for the next 10 chapters in Luke's Gospel, he will continue on this journey. And we will hear the stories of his healing and of him trying to teach his followers about life in the kingdom of God, which is different than anything they can imagine. He's showing them things along the way that need to change. He's teaching them about changing their lives. And they keep getting it wrong so much of the time. But we do too, don't we? This week I came across a blog that the author, Jim Marsden, who is a consultant, was writing about three different kinds of change. And it fits this gospel very well, I think. He describes three kinds of change. He calls them developmental change, transitional state change, and transformational change. And it's only the last one, really, that Jesus is interested in. Jesus wants us to transform. So Jim explains these different kinds of changes. Developmental change is when we grow, when we learn something, or we learn how to do something. We add or develop new skills, or we learn new things that take us where we want to go or need to be. He says, with this kind of change, we learn new things and grow, but our understanding of ourselves and the world that we are a part of has not necessarily changed. So we learn how to do something, but there may be no inner change in us and no change in how we experience or how we see the world. So the disciples are learning how to go out into the world and bring the good news, but at this point, they themselves have not transformed. And their understanding of the world has not transformed. They are still in an us and them mode, a judgmental mode. And when the Samaritan village does not welcome them, two of the disciples want to retaliate with horrible violence. Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn them up? They say. Jesus rebukes them. Their change at this point is only at that first level, the developmental level. Jesus wants deeper change. He wants them to let go of this need for revenge and retaliation so that they can embody the love of God. Jim explains another kind of change in his blog. He calls it transitional state change. We're familiar with this. It's any kind of long-range planning. You look at where you are now, and then you look at where you'd like to be in the future, he says, with as much clarity and specificity as possible. You look at that gap, and then you try to figure out how to close the gap. But, he says, in this kind of change, it's most successful when there are no changes in how we see ourselves or how we see the world around us. No surprises. There's no real transformation. So the man that says to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go, He's in this kind of a transitional state change mentality. He sees where he is, sort of, and he sees where he wants to be, sort of, but he thinks all he has to do is say it. He has no idea, really, what he is committing himself to. So Jesus tells him, "I have nowhere to lay my head. I am on the road. I am homeless. Are you ready and willing to become homeless too?" Similarly, the man that asks to go home to follow the very elaborate ritual burial customs for his father, which could take weeks, and the man who asks to go home to get permission to leave, they have not changed at a deep level. They too are looking at this change more on the surface. And to both of them, Jesus basically says, "You have not made the necessary changes. You're not ready yet to follow me." You see, Jesus wanted them to change, to transform. Not just surface change, developmental change, or transitional state change. Jesus wants transformation for all of us. A real change in the state of our being. This is how Jim Marsden describes transformational change. He says, "Transformational change occurs when our foundational understanding of ourselves and the world around us significantly shifts. A transformation occurs when we go beyond the bounds of our current understanding and awareness. We cannot think our way through this change. We have to experience our way into it." This is really, really important. We say of the Christian faith, it is caught, not taught. It cannot just be in our heads. Yes, there's good information that we need to learn, but if we stay in our heads, we'll never get there. It requires our whole being, not just our intellect. We have to have an experience of God's love in our hearts before we can even begin to share it with others. We have to put patterns into our daily life that, as Bob Gallagher says, put us in the paths of grace. Daily prayers, service, life in community, weekly Eucharist. We have to put energy and intention into a new way of being. Marsden goes on to say that humans often resist transformation because it has a cost. It is risky. We have to let go of old ways of thinking and being. We have to be willing to step into the unknown. And only when we can let go and be open to the unknown are we really ready to let God work in us, to transform us. Because something we value, part of us, our identity or a way of thinking, has to die in order for something new to be born. Sounds familiar, right? Death comes before rebirth. Death comes before new life. Death comes before resurrection. So the disciples will have to die to their wish for retribution and retaliation in order to live into the call to spread the love of God. The man who said he would follow Jesus anywhere has to die to his romantic idea of what discipleship is and look at the reality of what it will cost him. He has to face the harshness of the path of love in an unloving world. So, what does this gospel say for us? Well, for those of us already on the path who are living in this in-between place, in that difficult place of waiting, the time of mystery between the letting go and the new arising, for those people who often don't go there willingly, but it's life circumstances that place us there, this gospel gives us hope. Because we can see that in that difficult place of transformation, we can do that hard work that Jesus is asking of us, the letting go of what has to die, the hard work of letting ourselves be transformed by the love of God. This work is often painful, yet it offers great rewards. And for others of us who may be at a place of decision, not yet ready to pay the cost of this particular discipleship, this gospel can give us courage. We may see what it is that Jesus is asking of us right now, and we can pray for the courage to take the first step and to let go of whatever it is that is keeping us bound, whatever it is that right now is separating us from God. Are we holding on to anger, to a wish for revenge? Do we refuse to forgive? Are we romanticizing the life of a disciple? Are we holding on to an old way of life that deadens the spirit? Are we looking only to other people for our own worth? This gospel invites us to let all of that go and to rest in the mystery of God working in our lives, to rest in the unfolding, to let ourselves be transformed by God's love, so that our very beings are transformed, so that we can then offer ourselves in love, out of God's love, for the healing of this broken world.